The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. Dr. Carolyn McCamey is in the studio today. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Okay. So I am a licensed psychologist, and I have been in private practice here in Hot Springs for 2.5 years now. So I work with adults and work on anxiety, boundaries, depression, stress management, assertiveness. Those are kind of my big topics.
Yeah, I know on your website you have that. You don't have an actual website, but it's on Psychology Today, right?
I do have a website.
Oh, okay. What's the website?
Yes, so my website is drcarolynmccamey.com.
Okay, wonderful.
drcarolynmccamey.com. And I have some profile on there, some more information about me that Psychology Today doesn't let us
put
so much.
Right.
And I think I have a couple resources on there, some book recommendations and things like that. Contact information, of course. And I also do marriage counseling.
Okay.
And work with couples.
So you're not just individual. You'll see other.
Yes.
Well, I know on your, I think I just looked at the Psychology Today, but you had your ideal client to work with is anxiety, stress, boundaries, assertiveness skills, depression, people-pleasing, and codependency. Mm-hmm. And I know whenever we were talking before, I'm really interested in your work with boundaries. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is something that we don't talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear, you know, in the mental health field, I guess I don't hear people talking about it a lot. So I was like, I would love to have you come in and talk about your work on boundaries and kind of what does that mean. So, and I like to take this from the perspective of maybe someone who's thinking about coming to see you. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of start with just some basic information. Mm-hmm. What if I felt like I wanted to come see you about boundaries, what would be a sign that perhaps I might not have good personal boundaries?
Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the first things is if people identify as a people pleaser, and that can encompass lots of things. I think boundaries or need for working on boundaries is actually included in a lot of different diagnoses, especially anxiety and things like that. But signs that you need boundaries or need to work on some boundaries, you're left with very little time for yourself, maybe overcommitting, and that kind of leads into saying yes when you want to say no.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of people have a hard time saying no, and some people I have found don't know how to decline. They don't know the language to use, and I get a lot of people who tell me, well, I don't want to be mean.
Oh, right. That I think we're, and I only speak from my perspective as, you know, a female raised in the South where it's, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, be a nice young lady and don't cause problems. Mm-hmm. And I do think that we kind of carry that with us. And you're not just talking about relationships, right? You're talking about work and
yes.
and all kinds of
yes.
boundary setting places,
yes.
right?
Work. Home, families. I get a lot of people who come in for individual therapy, but some of their struggles and some of their anxiety can be directly related to family of origin issues, a lot, you know, family dysfunction and things like that. But also you see this with people in the workplace and overcommitting, taking on too many tasks or projects, especially in the workplace. People feel like, I have to do a good job. I have to show that I'm working. I need to go above and beyond. And if I say no to a project, then it looks like I'm not really committed to this job. And I have a lot of working professionals that I work with, and that is an issue for some of them.
And instead of being focused and committed to one task, you're spread so thin on all of these things. And I'm guessing that typically people who struggle with this are also doing the same in their personal lives.
Yes.
So just this idea of, okay, how would that manifest if that's happening? Like for me, if I'm at home, does that mean I'm assuming your own personal me time and self-care is
non-existent, okay. Right? Sometimes a person can feel guilty for scheduling me time, or they feel selfish. I hear that word a lot. They say that they feel selfish for wanting to take time for themselves or have a night off or go take a soaking bath or go out for dinner with a girlfriend. Sometimes a sign that you need to work on some boundaries is you're feeling resentment. So feeling resentment or disappointment or feeling overcommitted. And so again, this ties in with a lot of times saying yes when I want to say no, because I really wanted to say no, but then I didn't, and then I feel resentful because I really didn't want to do it in the first place. So lots of resentments and not speaking your truth. So what do I really feel? What do I really want? And that can lead to a lot of resentments because things are not being said of what they really want.
I would imagine a lot of people probably really don't even know what they want.
Some people don't, and that kind of ties into some of the codependency work.
Okay.
I do a lot of work, and I know this is about boundaries, but a lot of the codependency work does relate to boundaries.
Okay.
So I started studying Pia Melody's work, and she writes the book Facing Codependence.
All right, say that name again.
Facing Codependence.
Okay, and the author is?
Pia, P-I-A. Melody,
okay.
M-E-L-L-O-D-Y.
Okay.
And she's been doing this work for 30 or 40 years, probably longer than that. And she has a facility down in Texas somewhere, I believe. Maybe Texas. The name is Green Shoe, if anyone's interested in looking that up. But she talks about, briefly, there are five core components of codependency, and one of them is related to boundaries and difficulty expressing boundaries. There's another one of the components that talks about what she calls being needless and wantless. And some people, there's two types of people. There are A, people who know what they need or want, but they don't say it for various reasons. And a lot of it comes from things that they learn in their childhood or in abusive relationships in early adulthood or things like that. So there are people who know what they need and want and don't say it, or there are people who don't even know what they need and want.
Okay.
And so sometimes I do work with people who we start figuring that out. What do I need? What do I want? What do I like? Even if it just starts with, what do you want for dinner? Instead of saying, I don't know, just, I want this. Or, I don't want this. Maybe I don't know what I do want, but sometimes I know I do not want to watch that show again tonight when my husband's on a big movie marathon or something.
Okay.
So just starting slow, I work with people on some of that stuff. So yes, people who don't know what they need or want don't then know how to set those boundaries.
Right. You kind of have to start, that's a very basic starting place, right? Because if we're not sure what, to me it's that authentic self, right?
Yes.
Whenever we think about, I do a lot of work in that, you know, in grief, in terms of, okay, we've been through this experience that enables us to look at life in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's precious, and, you know, our time here is all limited, right? So how are we going to spend that time in such a way that we're going to enjoy our lives, some kind of joy in our life every day, right? And I just think if you're in that place where you don't even know what it is you enjoy,
right,
that is where a lot of that work is.
Right, right. And that is a lot of the work that I do with some people. And then when we talk about the first group of people who know what they need or want but don't say it,
I'm feeling that's the resentment group, right?
Some of that's resentment group. Some of it is they were silenced a lot in childhood, and they were taught that their voice doesn't matter, their voice isn't important, or they were dismissed. Unfortunately, lots of adults today were told as kids, you don't really know what you want. You're too young to know about this kind of stuff yet. Wait till you're an adult. A lot of people I work with were really dismissed. And so they don't know, they don't have a voice, or they've been taught that their voice is wrong, or that their opinions or ideas are wrong.
Or they don't matter.
And so sometimes the work, if I've got people who know what they need or want, but they don't know how to say it, or they don't know what they're allowed to say, and that kind of ties back into, I don't want to be mean. Or I feel guilty.
Right. And if we as moms especially, I can't speak for our dads, how they feel, right? I'm sure mm-hmm. that dads, feel the same. But I know for myself as a parent, you just feel so guilty sometimes that, okay, I really don't want to be with my child 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of guilt, I think, around me time.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of guilt for parents, but also for family members or friends. If my sister asks me to watch her kids, I feel like some people feel like they have to do it. Oh, that's my family.
Right.
I'm obligated. Even if I have other things to do, they're on my schedule.
My grandchildren, I don't want to watch my grandchildren every day. Right.
Right. Yeah. And so sometimes some of the work that I do is I take a step back and I go over something that I found years ago. It's called the Assertiveness Bill of Rights.
I like it.
You can Google it. There's lots of different versions online. There's a whole list, of different things that are on this Assertiveness Bill of Rights, and it's just working on basic assertiveness skills. And so working with boundaries really does tie a lot hand in hand with assertiveness skills. And for example, some things that are on the Assertiveness Bill of Rights is, I have the right to say no. That piece right there, I can have many sessions with some people on this one mm-hmm. because they were, you do what I tell you, especially people who had strict parenting, strict parents growing up. You don't get an opinion. You don't get to say no. You don't question it. And so I have the right to say no.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for a free consultation. 501-620-4800.
So you were talking about the couples therapy, and as I'm listening to this, I'm just envisioning that if you've been in a relationship where you haven't been assertive, mm-hmm. and suddenly mm-hmm. you're like, I really don't want to live this way anymore, and mm-hmm. you start therapy and start mm-hmm. working on these boundaries, I just feel like there's oftentimes some friction that may come from that, right?
There's almost always friction, whether it's with couples or my individuals that I work with.
Even in work settings and
yes.
everything else,
because
right?
what happens is in marriage and family therapy, we talk about systems. And a system can be as small as two people in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Or a system can be a family. The system,
including extended
family.
Right,
yeah. Or the system could be my small group of work colleagues. Right. This is my team. We are a system. And each person has their own personality and ways of being. Well, the system wants to do everything that it can to maintain homeostasis. Mm-hmm. Just like...
And homeostasis is...
Homeostasis is keeping things the same. Right. It's just like a thermostat. So your thermostat in your home is set to 72 degrees, and there's a mechanism in there that old school used to be mercury, that when the difference was noticed and felt in the environment, it would kick in and start cooling the air again to maintain homeostasis. Keep it at 72.
Yes.
Well, systems are the same way. And anytime a person starts working on boundaries, working on assertiveness, working on finding and speaking their truth, things change. And systems theory says that if one part of the system changed, the other part of the system will change in response. Mm-hmm. So one person goes to therapy and they start working on personal growth, or a couple, like you said, comes to therapy. And if they are both working and growing together, awesome. I see a lot, I've got a lot of individuals right now who are on the cusp of ending their relationship, because as they are doing work, as they are growing and they are finding their truth and they are uncovering resentments, or they're learning how to say no, things change. And other people, yes, in the environment are not always happy about that. And mm-hmm. they, when we set boundaries with people, they often get mad. And I tell people, and we can get into this a little bit later, but I tell people that's kind of the anatomy of a boundary, is they're going to get mad. Right. Because they want what they want.
And it's been working for them well.
Yes.
You're the only one that yes. it hasn't been working well for.
Yes. And there's a quote that says, the only people who get mad from you setting a boundary were those who were benefiting from you not having any.
Right.
And so I get a lot of people who, to go back to your question, yes, there can be a lot of friction, and they want things the way that they want.
But so let's clarify, though, that just because you do this work doesn't mean your relationship is going to end.
No.
Right?
No.
That's not what we're saying.
Right.
But it may take some adjustment
yes.
on the from the entire system.
Yes.
And that is something that you can help that
yes.
process, right?
Yes. So, yeah, just because one person comes to therapy and starts working on this doesn't mean your relationship is going to end.
Right.
I have a lot of people who do start to live their true, authentic self, and their partner may be a little confused at the beginning of, oh, you're different now.
Or, and that's just the basic principle that change is hard
yes.
for all of us, right?
Yes.
But we're all, for the most part, I find that most people are willing to be happy for you, mm-hmm. want you to
yes.
be happy and
yes.
are encouraging of change.
Yeah, and I would say that the relationships who might be ending are usually already toxic
right.
and unhealthy to begin
right.
with.
And they
yeah.
were, yeah, that's kind of the reason why they're there is
yeah.
because they need to end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the other people who come in, who have supportive partners and supportive families, yes, very much are supportive of them, and hey, I'm going to therapy, this is what I'm trying to work on, and so it can definitely be a really positive thing for them.
And we would hope that through this process we can bring the partner in, you know, for that
mm-hmm.
couple's therapy, or
mm-hmm.
refer them out for their own.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
there's so many wonderful options in hot springs, so
yes,
I'm sure you could help with that process, you
yes.
know, if that is needed for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You have on your website that it's so important how important the collaboration between client and therapist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know as therapists that our relationship is the most important factor
mm-hmm.
In how well the outcomes are going to be. So, speak to that just a little bit in terms of what it's like for someone to come and see you. I think a lot of people have a lot of anxiety about coming
mm-hmm.
for the first time, and what's that? What is that like? So if someone's listening and they're like, you know, I'd really like to work on my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone? Are there concerns that you see on a regular basis, or anything you can say to kind of help with that anxiety if someone may be thinking about coming?
I think a lot of people, I think maybe there's two groups of people. One group of people have never come to therapy, never been to therapy, or had any experiences, and think it's mumbo jumbo or we do weird things. I don't know. I've heard lots of different things about what people think therapy might be like.
And that's why it is so important we are having these conversations, right?
Yes.
We're just normalizing mental health is just as important as going to the doctor for your checkup, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And then there are other people who maybe have gone to therapy and have really bad experiences or had some, you know, some negative experience with therapy or felt like it didn't help, or they've gone to therapy and maybe it wasn't the right fit. And I don't pretend to be the right fit for everybody.
Right.
I've been doing this for a long time, but I'm not the right fit for everybody.
And that's a key. That's a, like, you know, whenever we talk about the relationship between therapist and client is so important, and it's important that you find the right therapist, right?
And one thing that I have on my website is I'm a psychologist, but I'm not that kind of psychologist. I'm really laid back. I sit crisscross a lot in session. I'm really comfortable. First and foremost, non-judgmental. And I know maybe a lot of therapists say that, and so some people might be like, oh, well, yeah, they just say that. I really embody that. Like, you can say anything, do anything. It is not going to shock me. I've been doing this for a long time. I've heard lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And the therapy room is no place for judgment or shame.
Yeah,
you can be yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the whole point of therapy, though, right? It's an objective, non-judgmental place where you can come in and talk about things that if you talk to your friends or family about, you know, they're going to give you that input that they might have their own agenda, right?
Yes.
Or, you know, there's so many things that an objective, non-judgmental person can kind of help you. I feel like we try to ask the right questions to help you come to your own answers, right?
Yes. And I do a lot of normalizing of when I have mothers who tell me kind of something you said earlier, I just don't want to be around my kids today.
Right.
And I feel awful for saying that. And I tell them every parent I've ever worked with has felt that way at least once in their life.
Oh, yeah.
And they look at me like, seriously? Like, that's okay to say that? Yes,
right.
This is a safe space to say whatever it is you need to say. And being able to identify that and say that and give light to that helps a lot. And again, just to normalize and say, hey, we've all got our issues. We've all got problems.
Our secrets are what? I feel like secrets, regrets, and guilt are often what bring people, you know, to therapy, working through those types of things.
Yeah.
And the guilt of, you know, with boundaries, the guilt of, it's okay for me to say no.
Yes.
And to say, this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just as important as my boss. I'm just as important as my child or my husband.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the saying is, like, you can't help other people if you can't help yourself. And I really believe that that's true. And, you know, if I'm overcommitting, then I'm not giving my best self to the people that I am committing to, or being able to work on what's most important and really start to prioritize things in life.
Right. What do you value?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to spend your time so that it's focused on your true core values, for sure?
Right, right. Yeah. And so that's some of the things that I work with people on in therapy. But it's just a conversation. Sometimes, you know, I point out unhealthy patterns, and I can be gentle when I need to be, but I also have clients who have told me that, me personally, they like that I can kind of call them out on their stuff. And
well, I just feel like, I mean, really, are you doing any work if you're never uncomfortable?
Right.
You know, I think that's where the work is in.
That doesn't feel good, but yes.
Yeah, and doing work on yourself is so much harder than, like, taking a pill, you know, or something, right? It is uncomfortable.
Give me a pill. Make it go away.
Yeah, but it's the only way you're going to facilitate that change is to get in that uncomfortable place, right? Because if we just, especially like in keeping our boundaries, if we just kind of go along and stay in our comfort zone and everyone else just stays in their comfort zone,
right?
nothing changes if nothing changes.
Right. Yeah. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting the same results.
Right. And that is the core of therapy. Yes. 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 So it sounds like one thing that our listeners could really take from this is to, what did you say, the Bill of Rights?
Assertiveness Bill of Rights.
Assertiveness Bill of Rights. I'm going to have to look that up. That sounds really interesting.
I'm working on a copy to put on my website with my logo, but other people have their own, and I just didn't want to put, a different logo or whatever and, not give them credit or whatever, but Assertiveness Bill of Rights, again, some of them you'll look and you'll find maybe 6 or 8 things on there. I have a bigger one that has like 20 different things on there.
Yeah.
And it's just little things like, I have the right to say no. I have the right to not give an explanation.
So I can just say no and not have to say because
And that is very tricky, and that is a key point, especially when we kind of get into the mechanics of how to set the boundaries and what that sounds like. When we give excuses or reasons or justifications, it invites the other person to solve that problem for us. I can't do that because I have to study. Well, you can bring your stuff and study with while you're here.
Right.
Or I can't do that because I have to go do something else. Well, maybe you could reschedule that. They will argue everything against and figure your problem out for you.
And you simply should say, I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that. Period. Or if there's an invite for something this weekend, but you're feeling really run down and you really need to stay home and recharge. That sounds fun, but I'm not able to make it this weekend.
And that's it. You don't have to say because I'm tired.
We don't have to say why. We don't have to give a because.
Right.
And I think that so many people have been fighting for validation and to be seen and heard for so long that that's why they give justifications.
I love the name of your therapy practice is Hope Springs, right?
Yes.
And you have on your website about hope will rise.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times we get so stuck that sometimes we do feel hopeless.
Yes.
But hope is there.
Yes.
Dr. Carolyn McCammy.
Yes.
Is here to help. So tell us again, let's give your phone number. Are you on social media? Anything, just give all the places that people can get in touch with you.
Yes. Yeah, so
and do you take insurance too? Let's get that out there.
Okay. So I am on Facebook. If you look me up at Hope Springs Behavioral Health, I am on Facebook and I share things that I see. There's some stuff on there about boundaries. There's stuff on there about couples work. I don't post every single day, but there's just little things that I see that clients can go in and look at. Sometimes I'll see something that is exactly what I was just talking with someone about today, and I'll go share that. So on Facebook, Hope Springs Behavioral Health. I do have the website, which is drcarolynmccamey.com is my website, and my contact information is on there. My email is psydcarolyn. C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, so drcarolyn@gmail.com. And I take Blue Cross Blue Shield, and under Blue Cross Blue Shield, there's lots of different, like Health Advantage, and there's a few other things that is umbrella under that, and then I take Ambetter.
And and although we focused on boundaries in this session because it's so important, you see depression, anxiety, codependency, assertiveness, just, stress, really just anything life-related.
Yeah. Yes, those are my top, favorite things to work on. But being a licensed clinical psychologist, I've had a lot of training, and I've been working in the field for over 15 years. So I have worked with lots of different things. I've worked with schizophrenia and bipolar, and I have some bipolar clients right now. So there's almost nothing I'm not willing to at least try to help with. I'm not an expert at everything, and there are some things that I do have to refer out on.
Kind of stay within our scope of practice.
Yes.
Wonderful. And you said adults only.
Adults and couples.
Okay.
And I do families. So I have had adult family units.
So with children.
Right. So 18 and up usually.
Okay.
I have had cases where an adult child is still living at home.
Okay.
Or trying to communicate better with parenting, with their parents. Do a lot of work with communication skills. A lot of that's obviously built into the couples counseling. But I do a lot of that work even with individuals if their partner's not able to come in or something else.
And you are also available statewide, so you can do telehealth, right?
I do telehealth.
Okay.
I have been 100% virtual since COVID and just started going back to the office, so I am in the office part-time.
Okay,
so I can do virtual around the state and in the office in Hot Springs.
In Hot Springs. Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Carolyn, for coming in. Such a enlightening discussion, mostly about boundaries, but, you know, just therapy in general. And
yes.
Again, just kind of normalizing this topic of mental health and how important it is to our health and our
Absolutely.
Lives, period.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.